Today on Pilgrim Radio's His People, Rhonda Velez on cultivating joy in the seasons God says no.
And so I think sometimes we get so caught up in the, like, well, God said no, and no, I'm believing for it, and I want a miracle, and all these things. But sometimes, like, the no is really from a place of, like, I love you so much. I can't give you this, because if I give you this, it will harm you.
Rhonda Velez next. On today's His People, we're joined by author and speaker Rhonda Velez. Rhonda spent many years striving, working hard, praying hard, and believing that her effort and faith would bring the outcome she desired. But when what she was praying for didn't turn out the way she hoped, when God said no, it marked the beginning of a painful but beautiful transformation. In today's conversation, she invites us to see God's no through a different lens, as redirection, not rejection, as protection, not punishment, as a divine invitation into something better, even if we can't see it yet. Her new devotional, When God Says No, Eat Cake, helps encourage us to find comfort in God despite the setbacks of life. Here's Sunny Kane.
Well, Rhonda, we are so excited to have you here on the His People program to talk about your book, When God Says No, Eat Cake. And that title is so intriguing. I'd love for you to take us to the moment that inspired that phrase and why it became the heartbeat of your book.
I remember that day like it was yesterday. I could actually like envision what I was wearing and what we were doing. It was actually my daughter's birthday, and I don't remember which birthday it was, but this daughter in particular that I'm speaking of, she actually had been going through a really hard season. And my mom and myself and one of our dear friends were praying and fasting for some sort of restoration. And we were asking God, you know, we were doing all the things. We were checking all the boxes off, right? And so it was her birthday, and we were sitting in her kitchen, and my mom had called me the day before, and she said, I think God said no. And I was like, no, that can't be true. That's not true. I don't believe that. Like, I believe that God wants restoration, and I believe he's going to make it happen. And so we're sitting there at the table, and my friend brought out a cake, and we were just so tired. Like, we were so tired of fasting and praying and doing all the checkbox things we think we have to do to be a good Christian, right? And my friend looked at us and she said, you know, maybe God just wants us to eat cake. And at that moment, she also turned to me and said, that's going to be your next devotional. And so I was like, yes, when God says no, sometimes we need to just eat cake and be okay. So in that moment, we stop fasting and praying. And I'm going to tell you, God said no. In that season, God said no. And it was a season of, it felt like desert. And I will say that God did restore better than was lost, but it was still a season of no's.
And in that, what did the idea of eating cake, what did that represent for you?
A celebration for sure. And also, I guess like a restart. Just being able to say, okay, like God has said no, but what am I? How am I going to find joy in this season, gratefulness in this season? And that's really hard because when you're in a season of no, it just, I don't know, I mean, maybe it's just me, but I can tend to go into a downward spiral where everything is bad. Like I'm just in a tornado of, it's all awful. It's all horrible. It's, you know, and so in that season, I think God just really was prompting my heart to feel like, how are you going to find joy in this season and see my goodness in spite of my saying no to you?
It's interesting because the idea of eating cake and that sparking joy, mm-hmm. I go, yes, my spirit says yes to that. And yet I can think of those difficult seasons that I've walked through. And that is the last thing that you think of when mm-hmm. you're in the no, when you mm-hmm. are feeling the closed door. And so eating cake, I love this, the mental picture of that. Okay. So Rhonda, before we hit play, you told me that you've been in a season of no's yourself. Yes. And it's not lost on me. Sometimes when you have a message, like when God says no, eat cake, this sometimes yeah. we almost go through the fire in our own message. So yeah. what has your own season of no been like for you?
Well, I think it's funny because this book launched on the birthday of what would have been my daughter's birthday, who I had a daughter that passed away, and it actually launched on her birthday, which was crazy because I was like, how ironic that that was the date my publisher gave me. But I didn't know that writing this would be in the middle of a series of no's. I feel like just things personally, professionally, there was just a lot of things that God has been taking me through. And I've had to, I guess, you know, I've had to read my own devotional, to be honest, because I want to remember that when God said no last time, the restoration that came from it, right? Like, I want to also remember that God is still good, even in the midst of this season of certain no's that we're going through. Granted, these no's, I would say, aren't even comparable to the no that sparked this book, but they are still significant and they still bring loss and grief. And so in this season, God has really kind of taught me, let's engage that. Let's talk. Let's, like, you and I talk about it. I've built this amazing relationship with Jesus now where he is not just some guy that's in the sky on a throne. He's actually my partner in life. And I'm hand in hand in this season of no's with him and asking him, like, this is what I need from you. And I guess it kind of, this morning I was kind of praying before this and it brought me to the story of Elijah, right? He had just had this victory and then he gets fearful and scared and he runs away and he finds this broom tree to sit under. And like we were talking about before this started, the broom tree is like a small desert shrub. Like, it's not this big, leafy, beautiful tree. And it kind of represents Elijah's state of mind of how he was feeling. Like, he was exhausted, discouraged, ready to give up. He just collapsed under this tree and it was barren. And it just reminds me of just like God's provision, even in the wilderness. And so I think that also represents cake. Like, God told him, rest, take this time and eat cake. And I feel like over the last 4 years, we've had a lot of transitions. We moved from California to Tennessee and, you know, it's a lot. And I feel like I've been running, doing all these things. And I finally felt like I hit this wall and I was exhausted. And I feel like in this season, God has said, not only has he said no to certain things, but he's also said, it's time to rest. Let me feed you for a little bit. Let me help you get back the sustenance that you need to continue to run the race.
I could feel that on a personal level when you were talking about the running we do, mm-hmm. and the smacking into the no. Mm-hmm. When you feel like everything you've put in and your heart, and I'm feeling this for a listener right now, their heart is, I've been checking all the boxes. I've been praying before you, Lord. I've been trusting you for the outcome, and it was still no. When we hear no from God, what do you think happens in our heart, Rhonda?
I think grief. I think because we want to sometimes believe that everything is a yes, right? I think we grow up and I'm a pastor's kid, so I can kind of speak from that level, is, you know, we're going to pray about it and God's going to come through and he's going to say yes and he's going to make a miracle happen. And then when it doesn't happen, then we find not only grief, but disappointment. And disappointment in not only the situation, but disappointment in the fact that we think God has left us or we've done something that has upset God. And so we're not able to, you know, get the yes that we want. And that is just such a misconception because so many times, you know, you hear this all the time and it sounds so cliche, but God's no is sometimes a redirection, not a rejection. And that closed door, he sees what we cannot see. And so I think sometimes we get so caught up in the, like, well, God said no, and no, I'm believing for it, and I want a miracle, and all these things. But sometimes, like, the no is really from a place of, like, I love you so much. I can't give you this, because if I give you this, it will harm you. And so when I'm able to, like, sit and think about that, I think of anything of writing this book, for me, it's a reminder that when God is, because I've had God say no lots and lots of times. I mean, this book, when I started writing it, yes, the initial concept of when God says no came from my daughter's story. But I actually, the first chapter in here is talking about me being laid off from my job last year. And I could have been so easily triggered by that. But I really felt my spirit, like God was saying, not this job, it's done. You're done here. And it's time to move on. And so it's kind of funny because it really made me step back and have to be like, yeah, sometimes God says no, and it's a good thing. It's an exciting thing. There is a part of God's no that sometimes is exciting. Like, oh, this means there's something on the other side. And so I've kind of come to the place of when God says no, that, ooh, okay, I can't wait to see what's next. I can't wait to see the next chapter because there must be something better on the other side because his no is for my protection.
Now, for somebody who's listening who says, I'm not there. The place that Rhonda has this ability to just say, I'm in the middle of these places where I keep hearing God say no. And I know he is good and I, you know, I want to trust him, but I am on the struggle bus and I do not know how to move towards celebration or joy because I'm just in this place, like you said, of grief. How did you make that shift? I'm guessing it wasn't always like, yay, eat cake, God's going to do something. No. Tell us about that journey a little bit.
No, it's still not like that. I mean, if I'm being honest, I feel all the feels. I get angry and upset. I think for a long time, I felt like if I was upset with God, that he was going to be mad at me or say, well, don't you trust me? You know, I think being able to engage that emotion and actually feel the sadness of what you're going through and acknowledge the grief and be able to, I mean, I'm a big proponent of journaling only because I feel like when you journal, you're able to go back and look and see how good and faithful God is, you know, to in other things that he's provided for you. And it might feel very desert-like right now, but maybe this is the time that God is saying, let me sit alongside you and feed you cake. Let me help you rest in this season. Let me help you get your strength back. Because we know that certain things definitely take us down more than others. Like the little no's are easier to get over than the big no's, right? Mm-hmm. The big no's feel like, is it ever going to end? And sometimes they're back-to-back no's. I mean, I will tell you, I'll tell you a little story about my husband because my husband, and this was a while back, but he had been looking for a job and he would think he would do great on the interview and they would come back and they would say, no, sorry, sorry, no, sorry, you know, and at some point you get discouraged, right? You're just like, what am I doing wrong? What is going on? And then when we look back at the jobs that said no and see like where the organization is or what had happened there, like you're like, oh, phew. Dodged a bullet, you know, but it's like, no, actually God was like, I said no to those things for you because I had something better for you. And I had something that I needed you to step into and I needed you to trust me. And so for me personally, no also was linked to trust. And so I think a question to ask yourself when you're in the middle of a no is like, where is my trust level with God in this season? Because trust is so linked to our ability to be close to God. It actually, if we can't trust him, then how do we even walk along life's hard seasons, right? And so I think asking yourself that question, okay, what is my trust level with Jesus right now? And how do I feel about what I'm enduring right at this moment? And being honest with God.
And in that honesty, I think that sometimes as Christians, we tend to be afraid of that honesty of if your answer to the question you ask yourself, do I trust God? Where is my trust? Yeah. If the answer is, I don't trust God because I've had so many no's, I'm struggling. What would you say to the person that is, that's kind of where they're at in this season?
Oh, man. I definitely have my own trust issues with Jesus. You know, I think that is at the core of everything is my trust in God. But I think, you know, asking God to really reveal where did I lose that trust? Where was it in my story that trust was lost? And really getting honest with how you feel. So often we want to bypass it and we want to just say, oh, you know, I do believe, you know, that God is good and he's trustworthy. But do you really believe it? Because I had to look at myself in the mirror one day and say, I don't trust God. And I don't know why, because I grew up in church. I know the word of God. but why am I lacking trust in Jesus? And yes, life can definitely take us down. And I mean, you look at, I mean, I just keep going back to Elijah because he was like, I mean, he just had this great victory. And then he ran away because what? He wasn't trusting God in that moment. He wasn't trusting God to get him through whatever he needed to get through, right? He just wasn't trusting. Mm. And so I think trust, fear, I think those are all linked, like all of it is. So I think we just have to, I mean, I think it's really to be introspective of what's going on inside your heart. Why do I not trust God? And what is the root of that? And really ask yourself these hard questions. But I also think gratefulness brings you out of it. So I feel like sometimes we get so stuck in no's and we don't know how to be grateful for something. And I am a big proponent of, okay, what's my little grateful thing that I'm grateful for today? And that sounds so, again, so cliche. We were at dinner with a friend one night, and what they did before dinner really, really changed my outlook on a lot of things. So she made this beautiful dinner and she sat down. She says, well, I just want to let you know, we will not be praying for dinner tonight. We do things a little different here. And I was like, okay, what is she doing? And she said, we actually sit down and say one thing that we are grateful for today that happened in our lives and bring gratefulness to God. And I was like, can I steal that?
Yeah.
Like, I just think it's so beautiful because so often we get stuck in religious practices where we're like, okay, we got to pray for dinner. And then before you know it, your prayer for dinner is, thank God, thank you, God, for this food. Let's hurry up and eat, right? Like, that's kind of that's how it is. Or at least that's how it is in my house.
It's the check,
right?
It's the checklist,
yeah,
right?
Right?
And we don't mean to do that,
right?
But we fall into our habits and it just becomes, I mean, yeah, I can relate to that.
Yeah. And so I just thought the gratefulness thing was so awesome because it does kind of have to take you out of that loop that you're going, that everything's bad, nothing's good, because I think that loop is what gets us from one day to the next day to the next day where everything is just negative, negative, negative. And I catch myself sometimes when I get in those negative loops going, okay, I need to stop and I need to go in, I need to go inward so that I can like figure out what's going on inside my heart. Mm-hmm. Because there is something there that is ugly and it can't stay there. Because I mean, you could live in a world of no that you perpetuate. So,
oh, that idea, even that we steer where we stare.
Yes.
And so if it's what you're, I mean, there's a whole, you and I could have a whole deep conversation about reticular activating system and the bouncer that lives in our brain that lets thoughts in. I mean, there is science to back this up. Hence the reason God told us to take captive every thought.
Yep.
And make it obedient to him.
Yeah.
So I hear the, when you're describing this journey of no and all of the no's, I just hear that no is an invitation, actually. I hear that in what you're saying.
100%.
And if you were to just get specific on that, what do you feel like the no's in our life? What is the invitation that comes alongside the no's?
An invitation to be honest with God. Like real honest, not the, you know, not the fake honest that we like to do in church. I think, you know, real honesty with God. I mean, God and I have had some very, very hard talks, and it's very known. If you listen to anything that I've ever been on, I tell you that God and I have a very love-hate relationship because sometimes we're talking and sometimes we're not. And I think it's okay, though. I think, like, he knows. Like, he's like, I know your heart, Rhonda. I know you love me. And I know that you want to serve me and you want to do your best. But I know that right now, my no is hard. I think you think of it like as a child, right? Like when your kids are little and you're like, you cannot eat all that candy or it will make your stomach upset. And they want to do it and they're mad at you because you say no. You're doing
or when
it
your
for
teenage,
it. Good. Yes.
Yeah, or when your teenage son can't have Instagram.
Yes. Or their cell phone. Like they're going to die. Like I remember when my kids were little and you took away their cell phone or, you know, when they were teens, you take away their cell phone. It was like removing something, a limb from their body, you know? he's so kind that even though we can't see it, we know that he loves us and he is doing what he sees is best for us because he sees our future. I also know that you know, in Psalms 34:18, it says the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and save those who are crushed in spirit. And so he isn't absent in our disappointments. He's actually really present in it. And he's asking us, will you walk with me in this? I know it's hard. And so I think, yeah, I just think that he is definitely weaving it into something greater mm-hmm. than we can even imagine.
Yeah. So it's an invitation to honesty.
Yeah.
And I hear you just talking about that's an invitation into really knowing God's heart more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And no wonder you say that God's no isn't rejection, but that it's redirection. And I feel like somebody needs to hear that today. You might be sitting in a no, sitting in rejection, sitting in what you thought was going to work out, but it all fell apart. God's no isn't rejection, but hear Rhonda's words, it is redirection.
Yeah.
So now you write about in your book, moving from striving into surrender.
Oh, yeah.
And letting go of control. How do you personally recognize when you're slipping back into striving, and how do you know how to course correct?
Usually when I'm striving, it feels hard. Like everything feels difficult. And I feel like I'm working really hard to please everybody or to make things work, or I'm trying to, you know, control the situation. And so I now can see immediately when I do it, you know, before, and I've done a lot of work. I just want to say that, like, I 100% believe in prayer and that God can deliver you from things, but I also believe in therapy. I believe that God gave us therapists for a reason, to really dig into those hard things, because for me, striving performance was definitely something that I was so used to falling into. So when I recognize it, because I've done so much work, I see it and I'm like, oh, whoa, 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 whoa. I'm trying to control this. I need to step back and I need to really like take a pause and be like, okay, Rhonda, like, this isn't your job to control this. This is not your situation to control. You need to release it. And that is not easy. But again, like, I journal a ton, and a lot of times it's just me writing in my journal, I'm releasing this to you, and listing it out to God. Here's the things that I am striving for, and I need to let go of them. And that seems to kind of get me back to where I need to be.
And for you, I mean, I saw that you connected these topics, God's no, and you're striving. What is the connection there?
I think because when you're performance-based and a striver, God's no comes really hard, because you're, like I said, with the boxes, I feel like the check, a lot of times we just are so goal-oriented, you know, that we are like, check, 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 check. Okay, I did all these things now. Now I've prayed, I've fasted, I've, you know, gone to all the prayer meetings, I only am listening to worship music. Like, I, you know.
Yeah, I tithe in church.
Yes. And it's this thing where we just think, oh my gosh, if I make every little step right, then God is going to reward me for this and give me what I want. But it's not about getting what you want. It's about what God wants for you and for your life. And sometimes he's like, we are putting a pause on this. And this is maybe sometimes it's a pause. Maybe sometimes it's a no. And even at the end of my book, the very last minute, I added 31 day, because I said, sometimes God says yes. Sometimes he says, yeah, I'm going to give you what you want because you've prayed for it, but not because you've checked the boxes. Not because you've done it all right, but because I love you. And you know what? I see that in my plan, this is going to work for you. So yeah, I think checking boxes is such a big part, I think, of all of us as we walk through our Christian faith. You know, I think a lot of us have been conditioned to believe that if we do all the right things, that God's going to have our life perfect.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, to be honest, you see that on Instagram, right? Like, you might see somebody who's like, oh, I've been through a hard time, but God restores. And, you know, yeah, but you probably didn't see all the middle part of how messy that, you know, restoration
all the
is.
Yeah.
And it doesn't always, restoration doesn't look the way we think it looks. Like, we think it's going to go back to what it was. And that's not necessarily what God is doing. Like, in our situation with my daughter, the restoration looked nothing like what I was praying for, nothing. And it came years later, like it didn't come tomorrow. And I think we're just such an instant generation yeah. where we want it now. In my first book, I talk about Veruca from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Do you remember her?
No, I do not remember her.
Okay, Veruca wanted it now, Daddy. That's what she said. I want it now, Dad. And it was the golden egg that she wanted. And so he gave it to her. And then she fell into the pit because she needed the golden egg right now. I think we can have Veruca syndrome sometimes. You know, we want it now, God. And we want it now, Daddy. And it's God is like, yeah, that doesn't work that way.
Yeah. I love that picture. Just like I love the cake. I have like Veruca yeah. syndrome. Is that what you call it?
Yeah, Veruca. Her name was Veruca.
Veruca
yeah,
syndrome. I'm like, I'm going to be like talking to myself saying, turn it down, Veruca.
Yes, Veruca. You need to chill out.
So, you know, I could keep talking to you. Your book is just these little nuggets for people. And I think, friend who is listening, if you are in that season and the no is hard, and you're struggling to make the swing into eating cake, you got to pick up her book. Grab it on Amazon, When God Says No, Eat Cake by Rhonda Velez, because I think it'll be encouragement to your heart. But I'd like to, before we close our time together, get into just a practical step for somebody who's listening.
Yeah.
Knowing that somebody listening is probably facing a closed door right now. Maybe a health battle, maybe a broken relationship, a dream that feels out of reach, a child that is wayward. I mean, there could be a lot of things that our listeners are walking through. What could they practically do in the midst of that disappointment to maybe move towards joy or eating cake?
Yeah. So I think the practice of gratitude is going to be key to getting through the season of no's. Writing things down that you are grateful for, like I said, whether, you know, maybe you're not a writer, but maybe you can verbalize it. Even I use my voice memo a lot. And just write down, you know, today was a good day. This is one thing that I saw. And another thing that I think brings you back to gratitude is going into nature and seeing the beauty that God has given us. I think so often we're so tied to our screens and tied to our phones that we're not looking up and seeing the beautiful sunset or the rainbow or the bird. Every time I see a bird land on a tree, I think about that verse about when God says, like, why are you worrying? Like, I clothe, you know, I clothe the trees and I've got, like, you know, the birds that are eating. And like, why are we so worried? Like, yeah. Why are we so worried that he's not going to provide for us? So really just kind of shifting your perspective, using gratitude to shift that and know that God is still working, even when you think he's not. And even if that means cutting yourself a slice of cake and enjoying it and saying, we're going to celebrate, I'm going to be grateful and I'm going to celebrate with this cake because I know that God is working behind the scenes. And I think, you know, Romans 8:28 says, and we know that in all things, God works for good for those who love him. And we've been called according to his purpose. So even in the disappointment, he is working it out.
That's beautiful. Now, as we end, I'm telling you, inquiring minds must know. If we were having cake today, what kind of cake would you be eating, Rhonda?
It's lemon cake.
Oh,
with lemon cake with a cream cheese frosting.
Oh my goodness!
I don't do buttercream. Is that butter? Yeah, buttercream. Is that what it's called? I don't know. That one's too rich for me, but.
Cream cheese, lemon, and I would have red velvet cake. Someone else is having German chocolate. But for goodness sakes, friends, when God says no, take the invitation to simply spark joy and eat cake. With that, Rhonda, thank you so much for your investment in our His People audience. We appreciate having you on today.
Thank you so much, Sunny.
You've been listening to His People on Pilgrim Radio. Many thanks to our guest, Rhonda Velez, author of the devotional, When God Says No, Eat Cake. On tomorrow's program, it's Robert Elmer on adopting the prayers of our revivalist era forefathers.
And these prayers matter because we basically owe our spiritual lives to these people, whether we realize it or not. I mean, their testimonies, their actions, that help set the stage for our eternity. Also, I think we could use a little revival right now. So in that way, we're all standing before God with the same empty hands that Catherine Booth or Amy Carmichael did, or Jonathan Edwards, Andrew Murray, Charles Spurgeon, D.L. Moody, A.B. Simpson, all those. I mean, they were caught up in an exciting time in history when the revivals were happening. And we're the ones who benefited from all that.
That's tomorrow at the same time, right here on His People. Thanks for listening.